This podcast is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network, and it's also proud to be from Texas. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show. Are you
good? I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
We're pilgrims in an unholy land.
Don't say that! Never say that! Goonies never say die!
This is the 2BT, 2BT podcast. Daddy, Dave, and Steve are awesome.
Noah had something to do with when I know exactly when it, the first time it happened was when I was trying to find that note in my bag about that song, the Dead Thumb song.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I stood up and I dropped all these comic books and papers on the floor and I'm picking stuff. So something about me moving around over here messed it all up.
Yeah.
We had a little spot of audio.
It's left. Like I said, man, these are cheap mics and they're cheap cords. So
well, come on, man.
I'm a cheap bastard. So it's probably the gear.
Yeah. So I might actually speak a lot more than I have because this is literally the first day I felt this good in
a long time.
I've been, this whole winter season has been weird since like November. I'll get sick.
Yeah.
My wife gets feeling bad. One of the kids will start feeling bad. I'll get sick again.
Yeah.
It's just this rotation of
just
coughing
hope,
and sinuses and then the flu. And it's just a bad year.
Dude, tell me about it, man. Like I said, I have been sick. Like, I'm actually
a little sniffly right now.
Well, yeah. This one over here is still kind of stopped up. But, like, I've been sick since basically 2018 started.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's just like, I forgot to tell y'all about my weird ass fever dreams that I had.
Dude,
it was crazy. Like I don't really dream that often, but I've never really had fever dreams. And this was the first time I'd ever really had fever dreams.
Well, go on.
One was like this strange, like it was short. It was small. It was like in the darkness and like there wasn't really anybody there. It was me and there was a campfire and it was just kind of lit like what you would be in like a campfire where you can see about 10 feet outside of where the campfire is. And outside of that, it's like darkness, but it was almost like a perfect circle of darkness. And I knew that I had to stay within the light because if I went out in the darkness and something was going to gobble me up.
Oh, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was just like, so that was that. And then I woke up, got up, went to the bathroom because that night, dude, I swear, like I said, I was peeing like a racehorse, like you wouldn't believe. Yeah. And, I went to the bathroom and came back, went back to sleep. And then I had the most vivid dream about a movie that was, kind of Weekend at Bernie's-esque to where it was like, I even like saw it in my head as a movie to where like these two kids meet in the second grade and how they met in the second grade.
Really?
Like how I knew that they were in the second grade, I don't know, but it started off and they're like two kids and they just all of a sudden become best friends. Through like Star Wars, it's like set in the 80s or whatever. They're both wearing Star Wars t-shirts and they meet and become best friends. One of them's favorite character is Luke Skywalker. The other one's Han Solo.
Wow.
And so like they were the perfect match and they go through life. And you know, it went through like a montage almost right there, like showing them like, you know, little couple minute inserts of like their different ages, like at teenagers and stuff like that. And they best friends and it gets to like whenever they're like 40 or whatever. And one kid, I'm sorry, I should have told you. The one kid had moved to town because his parents had been killed in a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
And so he went to go live with his grandparents. So by the time that he's 40, his grandparents have already passed away. He's by himself. He's got his own apartment. He does okay, but he's not like the most upstanding citizen or anything like that. Like he works at a job that just, you know, pays him enough to where he can get by or whatever. And his best friend is like super awesome guy, makes lots of money and like has a really nice house and all like this good stuff, but he gets divorced from his wife. And so he comes to move in with this buddy that, you know, like I said, he doesn't do all that great. He does enough to get by, but he moves in with him and they're having a good time. They go out one night and the dude that had just got divorced dies. They go out to go to a bar and he picks up this chick. He comes home to, you know, work it out.
get to know her better.
Yeah, exactly. And, he dies during the middle of it.
Oh, so God.
So she comes running out of the room, like, freaking out, saying, like, he's dead, he's dead, he's dead. And she's like, don't tell anybody, he's dead, he's dead, he's dead. And she bolts. And so his buddy's, like, freaking out because now he's alone. This was, like, his last friend in the world. He doesn't have any family or anything like that. Right. So he'd always been kind of close to him. And so now his best friend in the world has now died. So instead of, like, telling anybody, he decides to keep the body because he doesn't want to be alone.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a weird weekend at Bernie's.
Norman Bates.
But like a sad weekend at Bernie's.
Very
like,
sad.
Yeah, like a Norman Bates. Yeah, exactly. Because now he doesn't want to be alone. And so he's got these people, like his mom's like coming by to check on him. And he's like, well, you know, he's just not in right now. He's working late or he's on some business trip.
Oh, wow.
You know, and stuff like that. And he's like keeping the body because he doesn't, like I said, he doesn't want to be alone. And like he's having this, he was having like this whole like, inner turmoil about like, well, what should I do? I should really let somebody know about this. Am I going to get in trouble? Am I not going to get in trouble? And like, you know, like,
wow.
Yeah. So it was, and then I woke up during the middle of it or whatever. Like that I said, is, like just one of those off the wall, like crazy freaking
dreams
fever dreams.
Weird like that though. Most of the times my dreams are just nonsense and
yeah, you
know, I wake up and don't even remember them, but sometimes they can be really vivid like that. Like the other day I had one similar. It's like, it wasn't me in the dream. I was like watching these events unfold like a movie.
Yeah.
And I won't get into it like that, but it was really involved, really detailed. Like I was I was watching this group that was supposedly they're like guarding these important people at a meeting.
Yeah.
And these guys that are guards can sense, it's like they have these little scanners in their implanted, or they had helmets or something where they could target movement coming in the distance like on a video game would.
Yeah.
And those are the bad guys coming. But they kept having this problem where the bad guys that were attacking, trying to infiltrate, kept getting around their security system and coming through. And this guy's like, we got to be better prepared. And it just went on and on just like that. He had dreams. I remember a dream I had one time where I sat down on a typewriter and typed out a short story.
Oh, really?
From beginning to end.
Just because of the dream?
No, in the dream, I'm sitting and I'm typing a short story.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And I remember waking up and thinking, oh my God, I need to remember, I need to write all of that down. And then, like, of course, I forgot all of it.
Yeah.
You know, didn't retain anything.
Oh, yeah. See, I would always have creative bounce like that whenever I was like, you know, whenever I was playing music, I don't really play music much. I mean, I play here at the house, but not like with bands or anything like that. And like, I would always have like creative bouts in the middle of the night to where it's like, I'd wake up in the middle of the night and be like, oh crap, I got to go, not necessarily write it down because I can't write music, but like, I would go like play it a few times because once I played it like 5, 10, 15, 20 times, then I've got it memorized at this point in time. But if I'd come up with a riff inside of my head and like, I don't play it, or if I don't, you know, use my voice recorder on my phone is full of voice recorders of me going like,
so you don't forget
song idea, boom boom boom, whatever, you know, right? Like, yeah, so if somebody ever like goes through my phone, they're gonna be like, what the hell is this?
Oh,
like,
God.
Yeah,
well, there's a brought up Towns Van Zandt and Guy Clark last week when we were talking a lot about music. And like I said, they were best friends, and Guy and his wife Susanna and Towns would a lot of times just stay with them when he was in town. He was actually even closer friends with Guy's wife. But one morning Towns gets up and comes in to the kitchen and says, hey, listen to this. And he plays this song from beginning to end on his guitar. And I can't remember if it was To Live, To Fly, or If I Needed You. Two of his most popular songs. Other people have covered them and actually made some hits out of them. And they're like, when did you write that? She said, last night when I'm in my sleep, I just woke up and it was written. So weird things.
Yeah.
That and drugs. I mean, I have never done drugs, but one time when I had my appendix had to have it out, but I was really way too late getting to the hospital.
Yeah.
I should have gone in a lot earlier. And there were some complications after. I ended up staying like 2 weeks in the hospital.
Oh, wow.
They had me on morphine.
I don't think I ever heard about that, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I was on morphine for the pain
because
I had a lot of pain. I shouldn't, like, they're like, what's wrong? You shouldn't be having pain.
Get infected, I guess, or whatever.
So this is kind of like an infection. Okay. Yeah. That's what it ended up being. It was really horrible. They couldn't figure it out though.
Yeah.
And I had all these tests where they stuck a needle with me awake through my stomach lining and to take a sample while I was inside of one of those metal containers where they can look inside of you.
Yeah.
And anyhow, on this morphine, they must have given me a really heavy dose because I felt miserable, and like my parents and family was in the room, and they're like, well, you should be feeling better. I'm like, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't feel better. But when I kept trying to keep my eyes open. I should have been sleeping, because when I closed my eyes like this, I would see this army of like angels
on the left.
Oh, wow.
And then there'd be an army of demons on the right.
Oh,
like
wow.
They were right there above me in the bed. When I closed my eyes, I could see this, and they were like battling over me.
Holy crap.
To grab me.
Yeah. You thought you were like, I'm not going to sleep because I'm going to die.
I just want to. And it was just the drugs.
Yeah.
It was just the morphine they'd given me and whatever else was in
my
system.
Don't like the drugs, but the drugs like me. On.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah.
Crazy stuff.
Yeah. But. That is crazy, man.
Oh, what are we? Oh, wait, we do our intro, Dave.
Oh, yeah. Hey, everybody. Welcome to 2BT. I'm David.
And Michael.
We are seeing Steven once again. He's on a different kind of work shift right now. He'd been sick as well.
Yeah.
I think I'm just going to blame all the sickness on Steven because that's kind of like.
That's true. He was sick last week.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't here last week, so I can't blame him for that.
It was week before last, so.
Yeah, he gave it to me.
And this is like a slow burn, is what I'm saying. So, yeah, we'll blame it all on Steven.
We might just fire him.
Yeah. Troublemaker. Right? Blame it all on Steven and his family. Like, anytime he's got so many kids, man, you go over there and it's just like, you're going to get sick.
Yeah, schools are just germ factories.
Oh, God, dude. Could you imagine being a teacher? Like, first off, it's got to be kind of a cool job because you get the summer off, but you don't get paid near enough. I'll say that. And it's obviously a stressful job because they work tons of hours.
That's Sally Dog's in the room with us today.
You couldn't hear the cough. She doesn't like closed doors. I don't know if you've ever noticed that.
No,
but she, if you're in a place with her and you go in someplace and you shut the door, next thing you know she'll come bull rush it and open up the door. Teachers. Yeah, man, like they've got to have a hell of an immune system.
Yeah.
Because how is it that teachers aren't, like, just constantly sick?
Yeah, because I remember when Tristan started kindergarten.
Yeah.
And I'd always been fairly healthy. When she started kindergarten, the first week of kindergarten, I got sick.
Yeah.
And I kept getting sick because she kept bringing all these different weird people's germs home with her. But she never got sick. She has an immune system of an elephant. She never gets ill. Is that a thing? An immune system?
Sounds good to me. I was like, hey, hey.
And ever, off and on. But gosh, I guess, kids are just gross. Let's just say that.
It kind of makes you want to set up like a delousing.
How doctors stay healthy.
Oh, dude, yeah.
I guess like lots of shots of vitamin.
Yeah, right.
Medical person.
I got a story to tell you.
That bathe yourself in hand gel every day. You know, you just dip yourself after you see a patient. You have like a vat. You walk that back to bath. Just go dip yourself. Kill every germ.
Just taking baths and that hand sanitizer.
Bleach.
Yeah. I got a story to tell you after we get done. I don't think it's proper for.
Okay.
I'll tell it to you after this, and if you think that it's okay to tell, then I'll tell it on the show because I don't care. I've got nothing to hide, is what I said. You know, you asked me if I wanted you to edit something out. I was like, no, I don't care, man. Like, I pretty much tell everybody everything, but I just want to make sure that this one's kind of kosher enough to put on the show.
Okay, you got me scared now.
No, it's just like I'll pause real.
So I can always take it out if it.
Well, like I said, I just paused it. So like we come back and we had a little conference just then, and Mike told me that it's okay to go ahead and tell the story. So because like I said, I have nothing to hide, man. I don't care. So anyways, I'd gone for my yearly physical,
you know,
and I'm 41. I'll be 42 in May. So, you know, about the age of like 35 is when they start checking prostate or whatever. So I go do my yearly physical and I go back. First off, I'm sitting there in the doctor's office forever, like waiting for them to call me back. It really pissed me off because my appointment was at like 4:00. I haven't eaten all day long because you got to fast for the whole blood test and all like this crap. So I was like, all right, cool. So it's like 4:00. My appointment is at 4:00. It's going to be like 4:30. They still haven't called me back. Finally, they call me back. They go, they weigh me. They take me back to the little room, do all the, you know, check your reflexes, look inside your ear. You know, the crap that they usually do whenever you go to the doctor anyways. So the nurse walks out, and as soon as she walks out, it hits. It's like, damn it, I got a fart. But like I said, I haven't eaten all day long, and I really want to eat something. I hadn't eaten all day long, and I'm afraid to leave the room because I'm afraid that, okay, if I leave the room, the doctor might come in there while I'm not there. Mm-hmm. And if he comes in there while I'm not there, he's just going to be like, well, I'll go to somebody else. Mm-hmm. So the way I look at it, at this point, I was like, okay, I've got three options. I can either A, clinch it, and hope that my body just reabsorbs it. Maybe it'll turn into a burp. Right?
Oh.
This is what you call having shitty breath.
Okay.
No, anyways.
We don't know about medical science. We can add right? anatomy or anything.
Obviously, we are not doctors. So anyways, I was like, I can either clench it and we're just going to like hope that it like gets reabsorbed or something like that, push back behind the turd, whatever works there, you know.
Behind the wall.
Right. Second, I can either go ahead and let it, you know, it's a tiny little room. It's the examination room. You know, I was like, second, I can either just go ahead and let it rip in here and just be like, whenever he walks in, be like,
sorry.
Sorry, dude, I farted. My bad. Oh, no. Or the third, I can go down the hallway and go to the bathroom and let it rip in the bathroom and then come back. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go with option one. I'm just going to pinch it off and hope that it just goes away. So I pinch it off, hope that it goes away. But seriously, about like 30 seconds later, the doctor walks in. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, so he would have come into the room while I was down in the bathroom anyway. So this is starting to look like a good idea.
Yeah.
So far, it's positive. I was like, okay, cool. So, you know, he starts doing all this stuff and checking everything and blah, blah, blah. And then that's whenever he tells me, you know, drop trowel. And I was like, okay, here comes the awful part where you got to turn your head and cough and all like that, you know, play with your balls for a second, whatever. Mm-hmm. So turn my head and cough. And then he tells me, okay, I need you to turn around and put your elbows on the examination table. And I was like, oh, dude, you don't need to do that. He goes, no.
You really don't want to do that right now, sir.
Right? Yeah, exactly. I was like, dude, you really don't want to do that. And he goes, no, you know, you're getting up there in age. We need to start checking this, you know. I was like, yeah, but, you know, I really feel okay. I think
today,
right? I really don't think that you need to do this, man. Like, it's going to be okay. And he's like, no, just go ahead and do it. He goes, look, it's so funny because he's like this little bitty tiny Filipino guy. And he's like, look, I've got small hands. You won't even know I'm there. He goes, I'll be in and out before you know it and everything like that. And I was like, all right, here we go.
Oh my God.
So I bent over, I put my elbows on the table and I got my, you know, jaws down around my knees and, you know, he gloves up and jellies up and, you know, he goes for the gold and he goes in, you know, he checks for a few seconds and he pulls his finger out and as he pulls it, well, when they do that, they check you for hemorrhoids at the same time. Right. So the face is like really close to it. Yeah. As he pulls out, I guess he poked the bubble or something like that, because as soon as he pulled his finger out, dude, the fart just came flying out.
Oh, my God.
Right in his face.
Oh, my God.
I was like, I swear to God, dude, God. It came out with a vengeance, too. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if, like, the... I don't know if the KY or whatever, like, helped it just, like, blast, you know, forth with the, you know, that the winds of hell or something like that or what. But, dude, it was just bad.
What?
I swear
to God. Did it knock him out? He just collapsed.
I bet it made his hair move.
Ooh, that's when he needed a big old vat of hand sanitizer stuck his head into. Good God.
I couldn't do anything except for just be like, I was like. Look, man, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Yeah. I didn't mean to. He goes, no, it's okay, David. He goes, that happens more often than what you'd realize. I was like, okay, tight. At least I'm not the only person that's ever farted.
At least you're not the first one. Yeah.
And he goes, and lucky to know that you don't have any blood in your stool. And I was like,
whoa, good.
Okay, well, that's good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, even if we don't use profanity on this show today, this isn't getting an explicit tag. Be warned.
Right.
No, that's the funniest thing. Oh, God.
Yeah.
I need to, we'll have to do a special compilation of your crazy stories someday where we just pull them out from all of them.
Just pull them out of every show, just have a long one. Oh, man. Yeah. Sorry about that. I kind of derailed us there.
No, that made driving over here worth it 100%. I'll be laughing for the rest of the week.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that's like last week when we were talking about the guy in the bear suit a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, the bear.
I laughed all week long about the slimy, mushy guy in the bear suit.
It's so
gross. You want it, you got to fight for it. And I just kept looking at Trish. You got to fight for it. And she's like, what is wrong with you? Like, you gotta, just the story Dave told us just made me laugh.
Yeah. That guy was definitely something else. Oh, speaking of which, man, damn it, man. Like, Steven, weren't you, like, I keep looking at this empty chair.
Steven.
Yeah. We should turn his microphone on. This way in case Jesus wants to talk.
Hey, Sally, you want to take Steven's place?
Right. Yeah. She might if we had some like peanut butter or something like that up here for her to eat on. Yeah,
probably make more sense than both of us,
right? But yeah, I was gonna talk to y'all on the show about having the 2BT day at the Renaissance Fair, man, because we need to make that happen.
Well, we go every year.
Yeah,
I mean that's my wife's birthday thing. Is we go. She and her sister and her mom and the used to just be, I don't know if we've talked about it. I think it's just you and me talking.
Yeah, we were talking last
week. We go down to Scarborough every year since, and for me, this will be the 11th year in a row.
Oh, wow.
And sometimes we go 2 days.
Oh, yeah.
Just one.
I would like to do that sometime and like actually like, you'll get like a hotel room down there. This way you don't have to worry about driving all the way home after being out there all day long.
That's what we've started doing. Cause what we do is they get all dressed up and like I have a shirt. I'll throw it on for one day sometimes, or I'll just wear a t-shirt and be a rebel and not care. I just love going down there, seeing the,
it's all a lot stuff. Of fun, man. It is a lot of fun. I like going down there, checking out the glass blower and all the
metal artisans works. And stuff, the blacksmith and stuff. Yeah. And all the they have a great metal works there where they sell swords and knives and all kinds of axes and stuff they make. It's just so awesome. You got that. You got the shows. You got the comedy shows. I've told you about the guy. My favorite guy is and I see him every year. I don't care if anybody else likes it or not. I go watch the Fire Whip show. His name's Adam Crack. He holds several world records for whips.
Oh, wow.
He's like the fastest he made a whip that was over like 100 yards long.
Holy crap.
And actually made it pop.
Really?
He's got lots of records. I've got his DVD. I'm such a fan of him.
Yeah.
And his show's the same, almost practically the same every year.
Yeah.
But at the end of it, he's got this metal chain link whip that he dips in some kind of a flammable liquid. I don't know what it is, kerosene or gasoline, but it burns for a long time. Some kind of oil. And it's burning, and he's whipping and stuff, and he can throw stuff up in the air. And this whip is so powerful, like he cuts cans in half with it.
Holy crap.
And then there's always this gimmick at the end where he gets a man from the crowd. Come here, sir. I need somebody to come hold this balloon for me. That's somebody brave.
Yeah.
He says, no, not in your hand. I need you to lay down on this case and put the balloon between your knees. He says, are you ready for your vasectomy? And same lame joke every time.
Yeah.
And he just whop, pops the balloon.
Oh,
and
wow.
I enjoy it. It's all that stuff. You got the jousting, which is the jousting is actually kind of lame down at Scarborough because they don't actually really joust.
Yeah.
I think there are some fairs where you can go and they actually full on joust. Yeah.
I've never seen the jousting there, man. Like every time I go by, like it's always like, it's I don't know back. How many times they do. I know where the jousting pit is.
Oh yeah, there's like two or three times a day they do it. At the very end of the day, they have the final one.
Oh okay.
And then there's one early, and I think another in the middle.
Yeah. But
what's your idea for 2BT day?
I don't know, man. Just go down there and just have fun. Just
I like fun.
Yeah, just go out there and just have fun. Just like because I've never seen that whip show that you're talking about, and I've been out there quite a few times. I mean, there's a few shows that I've seen. There's one that was, the dude that plays the big piano.
The organ thing.
Yeah, with the bells or whatever.
Yeah. That's really creepy though.
Yeah, it is. He kind of wears that plague doctor looking mask or whatever when he plays. So I don't understand.
And a lot of the music's really ominous. Yeah. He doesn't say anything.
Yeah. We tried to get him to play because he takes requests. I think it's his website. You can go in and put requests.
Oh,
stuff
really?
Like that. We were trying to get him to play the theme song from, Planet Express, Philip J. Fry and Dr. Farnsworth and Leela and Bender and
Futurama.
Yes, dude, I love the show. What's crazy is I love the show. I've gone through the series like 8 times, but I couldn't think of the blasted name.
Don't
man.
You hate that?
Oh, dude, it drives me up the wall, man. I think it's just getting old. 41 and my
memory's that sounds going. Cool. Maybe we can work it out.
Right? Yeah, fun. I'm down.
Because we're going. We always go. And we usually try to go, we'll go with her family, and then maybe the next day it'll just be me and our oldest daughter and her, just because you miss so much. There's so much stuff. Like going to the shops is just walking around, see the little artisan shops and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You can spend a whole day just doing that. And
I always like the candles and like the candles, and
the soaps.
Yeah, the soaps is really awesome. I like that's my like I always tell everybody that's like my one girly thing is I love soaps, man. Yeah. Especially if you can give me some like goat's milk soap or whatever. Right. Goat's milk soap is like really good for your skin. And my skin sucks since I'm basically a ginger, you know, or whatever. And so it's like, dude, that stuff, like you can put it on and you don't need any like lotion because like right now, you know, you get out of the shower and it's been so cold and so dry that whenever you get out, it just feels like your skin's just being cranked in the back and it's just tightening up on you or whatever. You get like the goat's milk soap and it's just all sorts of nice.
Well, that's the cool thing about down there. We used to go down there and, you know, my wife loves all stuff like that too. And she'd get it and I was like, you could probably do that. And she's really, you've known my wife for longer than I've known her.
Yeah.
She's really creative and crafty about stuff. And so she's like, yeah. And I mean, she will go down there and she'll come back. And next thing you know, she's making candles out of beeswax or she's making the hand lotion bars or making soaps or like right now at home, she's making handmade paper.
Oh, really?
Yeah. she does it all herself. And it's crazy. You know, if you put a little research into it, you can figure out how to do all this stuff. And it's a lot cheaper than what they sell it for when you do it yourself.
Yeah. So with the paper, does that process of making paper stink? Because I've always heard that paper mills and things like that smell horrible.
Here's the thing. At first, it doesn't.
Yeah.
She's made this. She's been working on this batch almost 4 or 5 days.
Oh, wow.
And it's starting to have a bit of an odor.
Yeah.
And that's where she usually quits after, because when it gets too, whatever's happening, the smell gets too gross to work with. But I asked her about that, and she's told me there's something you can get to add to it that will defeat the whatever bacteria is making the smell.
Okay.
You can just eliminate that. Yeah. So,
Oh, man. So I think we should get into the meat of our show here because we're almost 30 minutes in.
Yeah, now, we're long-winded. I told you, like I said, I feel good today. So
that's good. And, like, we can record forever if we want to. I was just saying, like, maybe we should actually talk about a few things that we kind of worked on. I wouldn't say we actually worked on it. If you call sitting around like reading books and watching movies work,
that's a lot of work.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What do you want to get into first? You want to get into Iron Gold or you want to get into a
closed-minded podcast or what's it called? Openly Pretentious, starring Darren and Ray. Yeah, let's talk about those guys because I was listening to this. What is the name of it? Usually there's this awesome cool guy named Ronnie on it and he usually kind of makes it really hold together and flow really well, but it was really off the rails.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden this guy named Darren starts yelling about the Last Jedi and coming up with all these really lame excuses for why he hated it.
Oh, like the fuel thing or whatever?
Yeah, the fuel thing. And, the little girl from a desert planet's playing in rain. That just ruined the movie for me. Oh, it's so awful. Oh, such a terrible movie.
Right.
Oh, my God.
And something about her how does she know how to swim or whatever?
Right.
Yeah. Because you're on a desert planet. Would you not find something like a water receptacle somewhere, like a water tank?
I was a kid, I would go swim in a water trough.
Yeah,
when
water trough.
I was a little tiny kid.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I know I've done it before. Yeah. Why would you know how to swim if you're living on a desert planet?
Right.
Makes lots of sense.
It's a good show, though. It really is.
Nah,
it's
not good guys.
Aaron is full of, he's got a black heart full of hate. And he really does. When he hates something, he hates it. And he is funny. when he hates something, he hates it, man.
Yeah.
He hates it. And actually, Jay, he always gives me a hard time. See, y'all are talking about Star Wars again this week, aren't you? I'm like, yeah. Oh, gosh. I'm like, and I get it because he's one of those people that back in 1977, he went to see the first Star Wars before called A New Hope. It was just Star Wars. He didn't like it. And I get that.
Yeah.
He didn't like it. It wasn't his thing. So he hasn't really jumped on the whole bandwagon thing.
Well, you can tell him this week that we got something different to talk about because we're going to talk Star Trek and Iron Gold.
Yeah. Because they're a bunch of Trek. We realized that they were just a bunch of Trekkies.
Yeah, man.
That don't appreciate good things.
Right. Well, Trekkies, what's funny about what I always say about you can always pick out the Trekkies and the Wars nerds, like whenever you're like in the group or whatever.
Yeah.
You know? The Wars nerds seem a little bit more relaxed and regular around people, whereas
Trekkie's a little bit uptight.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit uptight.
Intense.
Don't really know how to act around people since they're usually hiding out in a basement somewhere or whatever.
Ouch.
I'm just playing. I do want to say, like, I appreciate you guys mentioning this on the show and stuff like that. Go check out Open Bar.
Open Bar.
At some point in time. It's a really good show. Go check it out.
It's not safe for work. Don't let your kids hear it.
Yeah. Oh,
because here's the concept. I've got to give props to Ronnie and Dewan came up with the show. And the idea was, because we'd always just sit around and they'd be sitting around on a Slack chat talking. And it's like, why don't we just do it? Start having a show where we just hang out, drink, and talk about whatever comes up on our mind. The whole idea is like all these guys live in different parts of the country, but they're friends.
Yeah.
You want to go to the bar with them, but you can't do it. So you just, they hop on Skype, start drinking and talking about whatever comes to mind.
No. Oh, okay.
And so it could be anything that comes up. And sometimes they go into areas that are a little bit inappropriate.
Yeah.
They've got a little bit of trouble.
That's what you do whenever you're at the bar, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a good show.
Yeah. That's cool, man. With that and all, you know, I did some research this past week and I attempted to watch Wrath of Khan. I actually liked that movie. Started to watch Wrath of Khan and I fell asleep. After watching Wrath of Khan, I decided to watch two movies, and I watched Wrath of Khan and Star Trek Search for Spock. Just because, like, Wrath of Khan kind of leaves you with the cliffhanger with Spock being dead.
Yeah.
And so, I was like, well, crap, I kind of feel like I need to keep going, so I watched Search for Spock, which Search for Spock apparently picks up right after, Wrath of Khan. So, with that being said, I'm going to get into my notes that I took here. There's not a whole hell of a lot of them here, but there's just a few things that I kind of noticed and I wanted to point out.
Some things that just kind of don't add up.
Well, things like, you know, Star Trek Wrath of Khan should have been named Star Trek Wrath of Mad Max. Because Khan's crew is costumed in, like, this stereotypical apocalyptic 80s, you know, a post-apocalyptic 80s movie.
Didn't he have, like, the feathered hair or something?
Yeah, he totally had the feathered Farrah hair, and he's... Well, I wasn't going to say anything about the hair, because, you know, even Luke Skywalker, he's got his feathered hair.
No, it's just the style of the times back then.
Yeah, exactly, and that's just the style of the times, but, like, if you look at the movie, like, it's very influenced, like, that they have that really super post-apocalyptic, like... that's the only thing I really can think of to compare it with is like Mad Max style costuming for Khan and his crew. And I was just like, well, so I'm taking to calling it the Wrath of Mad Max instead of the Wrath of Khan or Wrath of Ricardo Montalban or something like that. But anyways, and I wanted to find out, like, so when Kirstie Alley isn't piloting the Starfleet ships out of Starport. Mm-hmm. She down in 10 Forward, like slinging drinks to patrons and stuff like that, practicing for her retirement career, working at Cheers or whatever.
Like, might be.
You know, that's was one. One question I also had was how does Khan's crew, his cohort, his people that he runs around with, how do they know how to pilot a Starfleet vessel? They just got on that ship and were just like, yes, sir, we'll take care of it.
How had they had got abandoned there, though, hadn't they? I don't remember. It's been so long since I've watched it.
Yeah, I don't, like I said, I think
they had been abandoned there.
I started watching
there.
It and I fell asleep in times.
One of the reasons that I think he hated Kirk so much, especially, was that something was happening and they were left there to... I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm speaking out of turn.
Yeah, see, it's like, well, no, you're not, man. I'm kind of posing this question to anybody that just wants
maybe
to answer.
Maybe answer us at, tweet the answer to us at 2BTShow.
You know, I was going to add that to my notes, what our email address is.
I have no idea what the email is.
I don't know either. I got to save it on my computer, thank God. And I haven't got on there and checked in about 3 weeks, so I don't know.
People don't email anymore.
No, they don't. This takes up too much time. Yeah. I also liked in how the white uniforms that Starfleet Engineering was wearing. Like, if you look at those white uniforms that like Scotty and stuff like that are wearing, mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen those, but they are a straight up ripoff of a combination of C-3PO and a Stormtrooper.
Okay.
Like, they even have, like, the weird little circle in the middle of the chest, like C-3PO does. They have, like, the neck collar that really was reminiscent of a Stormtrooper. But, yeah, it's just, like, basically a ripoff. And I understand that, you know, the only reason why Paramount even made Star Trek in the first place was because Star Wars had such a success for Fox.
Right.
And other than that, like, Star Trek never would have got the green light.
Yeah.
And you can't tell me no, because the dates on the movies tell the story.
Right.
1977 and 1979 for the original motion picture, Star Trek. So, anyways, Another question is whenever Spock is dead. And like I said, there's big chunks missing. And like I said, I really like this movie a lot, so I'm not really talking crap. I've got questions just because if everybody's going to nitpick on like other stuff, because I want to tell you how stupid you sound whenever you like start nitpicking stuff. So, why would they be playing Amazing Grace on the bagpipes? Because Mr. Scott's standing back there playing the bagpipes as the torpedo with Spock and it's getting lowered down to get shot out to Genesis.
Because it's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta love bagpipes. I love the bagpipes, period. But then, like, you play Amazing Grace on it, and it's one of those that will just give you chill bumps.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then, so that leads into Search for Spock. Like I said, I fell asleep through a lot of Wrath of Khan, so I can't really do it justice. And there's probably stuff that I fell asleep in that I probably would have answered my question if I wouldn't have been sleeping. But, you know what? I was. And Search for Spock. Apparently, this movie picks up right after Wrath of Khan, like I said earlier. Or, like I said, a.k.a. Mad Max. And somehow, Starfleet uniforms have changed.
That fast.
That fast, dude. Like, that quick. Like, it picks up from them leaving. The Enterprise is still damaged. They haven't even got it in the bay yet, into the dock yet. But yet, their uniforms have already changed.
Oh, that ruins the movie for
it. Ruins it, yeah. Oh, and somehow Savick, Kirstie Alley's character, completely, totally changed also. Now it's like some other female who kind of similarly looks like Kirstie Alley, right, but is obviously not Kirstie Alley. Doc Brown as a Klingon. I thought that was pretty interesting. I kept waiting on him to scream, like, Marty, we got to go back in time. You know, whatever.
That's funny because I just rewatched the Back to the Future 1 and 2 last week. It's so good.
Dude, I love those. Even though I know everybody, you know, number 1's awesome and number 3 is pretty good also. And I know number 2 takes a lot of flack, but I still dig that one.
Yeah, it was definitely a step backwards for me, but I still loved it. Yeah. The first one was, I forgot how good it was. It's been so long since I watched it. Yeah. Taking you off track here, but you brought it up.
No, you're good, man.
And it's like, wow, the first one was really, really, really good.
Oh, yeah.
I gave it 5 out of 5 stars.
Who was it that did that? Was that Peter Zemeckis that directed
it? Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, I love that movie. That's just one of those that, you know, whenever you watch certain movies that take you back to your childhood in that point in time, you know, like, you know, Back to the Future. E.T. does that for me.
Yeah.
You know, and Top Gun, I can remember, like, where I went to go see the theater, you know, Top Gun in the theater and blah, blah, blah. Doc Brown as a Klingon, like, I already touched base. I wanted to, are Klingons just basically like Friar Tuck fanboys with the way that their hair is?
Maybe. I don't know.
Hey, they got that little crown thing.
We can't really talk. We kind of got some receding hairlines ourselves.
Oh, dude, I'm bald as hell. I got no problem with it. I'm just saying. And here's one thing that really gets me. And people, and this is the biggest point of all. Mm-hmm. This is the biggest point of all. Now, people want to complain about the ships running out of fuel in Star Wars, The Last Jedi. Have you ever taken into account the physics of a transporter? I mean,
you're destroying somebody.
Killing something.
And taking a chance that they're going to come out on the other end.
Out on the other end alive. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, technically, if you're taking it down, because what they say is, you know, that takes it down to the molecular level and it shoots it across space and time to another place. And then all of a sudden, like, this thing takes the jigsaw and puts it back together, but you're alive and you're fine.
What if a breaker goes out right in the middle of the process? There's like half of you show up.
Right? Yeah, dude. Exactly. You're like, well, never mind. Damn it, I was going to make a joke and I realized I shouldn't make that joke.
You go ahead. I was
just going to have to put a beep in there and be like, I got over here and I only got one ball.
Oh, God. We're going to mute ourselves too much.
Oh, I know it, right, dude? It's just bad news.
That's basically, to go back, like Jay said, even Jay, who doesn't like Star Wars and kind of tunes out when we talk about it, he said it best, guys, you're taking this way too seriously.
Oh.
You're really overthinking this. You're supposed to just enjoy stuff. Yeah, and if you don't,
and that's the point about movies is going and enjoying them, man. And that's why it gets me. That's the only reason why I get upset when people start nitpicking. And it can be nitpicking any freaking movie.
Right.
You know, because there's not a perfect movie out there. You've got to have something to move the story along. To get people, your character, from point A to point B, whether it be whatever's happening in a movie. You got to have certain things to move the story along. Whether or not it might be, you know, somebody running off to another casino planet to try to pick up a dude that people right. think is just pointless. But I'm like, what?
What's now, you want to nitpick something.
Yeah.
Something that you really want to nitpick. To me, one thing, something you could nitpick about, like the opening scene with the bombers, and this bothered me from the very beginning, is when I think her name is Paige, Rose's oh, yeah. sister, falls down into the bomb hold. It's always bothered me, the openings, how it's just open air.
Oh, yeah.
But there, I think the explanation is there's some kind of a force field that is
keeping the air
in. But it always bothers me when I see that, when these ships fly in these big, giant open holes, and it's just people standing in there.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I don't really get it bother me because
it's a movie.
I'm sure there's an explanation right. in that world.
Yeah.
Kind of like watching a Lord of the Rings. I really don't believe anybody can really shoot magic out of an end of a oak staff, but you know what? It's fun to watch on a movie.
Yeah. You shall not pass. Oh, yeah. No, I hear you.
That's fun.
Vulcans being super logical and scientific, but having elaborate, not just regular ceremonies, but elaborate ceremonies to send somebody off into the afterlife.
Yeah. What's that all about? I never realized it, but that.
Okay, yeah, doesn't like let's just pause this for a second. We're gonna give you time to think this over. Now think this over, but use your logic brain about this. Now I'm talking to everybody about this because I know I've already talked to you about it, and right. I had to hit myself in the head trying to make sense out of it just to myself. Okay, time has passed. Because why the hell would you be super logical and be doing ceremonies, not just regular ceremonies, but elaborate ceremonies for the dead? They're dead. If you're super logical, you'd think of them as like, well, they are not here now. They have passed from this earth or whatever. Even if you do believe in like an afterlife and things like that, you wouldn't have an elaborate ceremony to send your dead off. You would be like, well, they are now plant food. Send them to the regurgitator and have them chopped up for plant food, or, you know,
Feed to the
hogs, yeah, or whatever.
Throw them to the hogs.
You know, and things like that, you know. But you know what? It makes for a good movie.
It makes for a good movie.
And during the mind meld reversal ceremony, which, by the way, seemed really similar to the opening scene of, or sorry, not the opening scene, but the opening of the Ark in Raiders of the Lost Ark. It was shot a lot like it, but it also reminded me of Temple of Doom. Because she's sitting there, she's got her hands up in the air, the old lady does, and I just kept waiting for her to scream, Kalima! And like reaching to like Doc and McCoy's, you know, McCoy and Spock's chest and pull their
hearts out.
Like, Mortarum, 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 Sigurum, like just, anyways, that's my Star Trek notes. If you really want to pick something apart, like, give me another one. I'll pick it apart for you. You know,
just about anything.
I don't like doing this because it makes me feel like I'm being an asshole.
And you're feeling like, why do we watch anything? Because it's a waste of time.
What's the point in it, man? Just go and enjoy it. And these are two movies that I actually dig because I do like the Star Trek
universe. I love Star Trek. I mean, okay, let me take that back. I've always liked and enjoyed Star Trek. That's one of the things I watched every day growing up. I liked it. I liked watching the movies. But for me, I'm sorry, Star Wars is something I think it always has a blend of the fantasy and sci-fi together.
And that's what it is, man. It's a blend of fantasy and sci-fi together that you can do these things without having to be super scientific about it.
Right.
Now, I do like science fiction itself as well because I do like the scientific aspect of it. I've always been into science and history.
Well, that's the thing about Star Trek. It was also socially progressive and touched on themes using science fiction. Like the first race.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first black female and white male kiss ever on television.
And they've also kind of influenced the innovators in technology. Look at what we carry around now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
in our pockets. Everybody has this little telecommunicator device that a lot of people...
And I always hear that the iPads and notebooks or whatever, all those things are basically based on the tricorder.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And like I said, man, I dig Star Trek. I went and saw all those movies whenever I was a kid. I don't remember seeing the first one.
Right.
But I do know that I went to the theaters and saw Wrath of Khan and Search for Spock and Undiscovered country or whatever. Which one? I remember the one with the whales.
The whales,
they had to go get the whales and save the earth from the...
Wrath of Khan's the one that my grandmother, my dad's mom, and his one of his sisters took me, and I think my sister too. I don't know if y'all went. I don't think y'all did. And when they got to the part where they put in the little, what is that thing? The little worm parasite thing.
Yeah, I can't remember what they call it. Basically earwig.
Earwig thing, that burrows into their heads. Right when we got to that part, my grandmother just threw her hands across my eyes so I couldn't watch it. I'm like trying to fight her hands off. Let me look. What's going on? I don't want to miss it. Right. Like she thought it was too traumatic. It probably would have been for me at that age. I was young.
It's like the snakes and Raiders of the Lost Ark for me, man. I just couldn't do it.
Oh, man.
Good stuff.
Most definitely. Okay. So we were also going to talk about some Iron Gold. We started.
Iron Gold came out. Was it on the 15th? 16th.
I think it was
this
16th.
Month. And Iron Gold is the fourth book in the trilogy. The Red Rising books were supposed to have been. It was just going to be a trilogy. And in his mind, Pierce Brown, I did a little reading about the guy. He thought it was just a trilogy.
Yeah.
And, but then, you know, he got done and he's like, well, I've created all this world, and he started, these characters started kind of giving him ideas. And, so he's came out, he's starting another, the ongoing Red Rising saga has started with book four.
Yeah.
And so initial impressions, you and I are about to, there's three parts in the book, I think.
Yeah, there's three parts. There's the, Cassius and Lysander, Ephraim.
Right.
And,
Darrow.
Darrow, yeah.
Darrow's a hero. And that's one of the things I wanted to get into with it. Can I go over this little notes about him?
Yeah.
We've been talking about his influences, guessing at his influences for a while.
Oh, yeah. Go right ahead.
A little article I found on something, Inquirer.net. Not The Inquirer. It's actually like some college newspaper did an interview with him.
Oh, that's cool.
He started writing at age 18.
Oh, wow.
Because he was waiting for George R. R. Martin to finish A Dance of Dragons.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure which book that is in the series. I guess I could look it up.
And you know, waiting for George R. R. Martin, you got to wait a while. So he decided to write his own book. He ended up writing like six novels. All of them weren't that good. He says even that they weren't that good because he was like, I think he just copying. When you start writing a lot of, especially when you're young writers, I've done this, you try to mimic or ape people you admire. So you're not really being yourself. You're just trying to write in the style of that person.
Yeah.
Well, finally, he came up with this idea. His quote is, he came up with the idea of writing a book that was a crossing of ancient Greek myth and futurism, which is so fantastically interesting to him that it drew together all the influence such as Frank Herbert's Dune, and try something new by introducing a critique of a lot of what he sees in current society. So he is like making a statement about our current world in a sci-fi story. And I think that's interesting because I just saw an article, Margaret Atwood, who has written lots of books, including like The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
She says science fiction is not about the future. It's about the present.
Yeah.
And that's kind of goes on with that. And,
you know, after hearing that, it really makes sense about the peerless scarred in his books.
Yeah.
Basically being the 1%.
Yeah.
You know, being the rulers of the rulers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow, dude, that's actually pretty. Okay, cool. Yeah, sorry, man.
That's just a little thing I thought was neat. It's a longer article. But he, like, thought it was a really, really didn't expect any success from it, but I think this guy's got some, I mean, he's only 29 years old for crying out loud. And he's got real talent in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, I hate recommending books, but this is one I'm not going to hesitate to recommend just because it's such an action packed good story.
It is.
And the George R. R. Martin part is interesting because you just mentioned that the three characters telling stories in this one, right?
Yeah.
Three parts. I'm really interested in seeing how it's going to tie together. The first three books of Red Rising, it's just the story Darrow tells, correct?
Yeah. It's basically the tale of him and basically like his kind of cadre, his cohort, his group that follows him.
But you're not seeing other perspectives.
No, you know, it's,
this
it's all
from his interests me because that's the way George R. R. Martin tells his stories in Song of Ice and Fire is each chapter is told from the perspective of a certain character, Arya or Jon Snow so whatever. And then he's doing that same technique in this book, which takes a lot of skill because he does change even the voice from one character to another is different.
Oh yeah.
From, okay, we have Darrow, who's the red, that was the hero of the original trilogy. His voice is, we know it.
Yeah.
And then there's the girl on Mars.
Oh yeah, that's right. Forgot what her name was.
Lyria.
Yes. Yeah.
And her voice is different.
Oh yeah.
Of course.
I forgot all about that one.
And so then there's Ephraim, who's like this. There's four stories.
Yeah, four stories.
And then one of my favorites is the story of Lysander, who is actually the grandson of the sovereign, the one that was overthrown.
Octavia Alun.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I forgot about the fourth one. I'm glad you brought that up. So there's four storylines. Yeah, the Lyria. I was really like, you know, whenever I first started, I'm sorry, man, I just kind of like stepped all over you. Just said,
no.
Oh, okay.
No.
Yeah. Cause whenever I'm doing the audiobook, cause I listen to them at work.
Right.
And I was kind of surprised whenever I first started off because they actually hired four different people to do the narration for the book. Yeah. It's really cool. Whenever I first started listening to it, you know, it was like the same guy that had done the narration for the first three books.
Right.
That did Darrow as, you know, starts off and he's, you know, reading. And as soon as it switched to somebody else, then they switched the narrator. At first, I hated it. I hated it at first. And I was like, man. Like, and it took me a second to really get going with the story. And then I don't know why this is going to sound really stupid, but like it took me a while to realize, oh, okay, so they're switching the voices for different characters because they're wanting to give you their perspective.
Because it kind of shocked me at first.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't expecting, I just thought, okay, it's going to be more of Darrow telling the story, but this is good.
Yeah. Oh,
really
yeah.
good. It's really interesting because, what's the premise of this book, Dave?
I'm not sure just yet.
Okay. When we end on the last book of the Red Rising original trilogy, Darrow's 23 years old. They have just pretty much
conquered
the society, broken the society.
Yeah.
Hold.
Killed Octavia Alun.
But at the same time, they haven't won the war.
Yeah. There's still a lot left to do.
I mean, because we're dealing with all these different planet systems. We got Mercury, Mars, Venus.
The Ash Lord is still out there.
Right. The Ash Lord, who's like, he's kind of the guy that would drop a nuclear bomb on any city or country just over an insult.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want to, he's not going to send any people in there. He's just going to kill everybody on that planet to win.
And has done that because.
And he has done that more than once.
That's the reason why they call him the Ash Lord because he'd taken an entire moon, and it was a colonized moon that was apparently like, you know, very colonized, like there's a lot of people on the moon, and he just basically turned it to glass.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's the reason why they refer to him as the Ash.
And everybody's scared of him.
Yeah.
And basically this said, and we were curious about what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Is he just going to start out immediately after? No, this series of books is starting out 10 years later. Darrow is now 33 years old.
Yeah.
He is a warlord of the Republic has been set up.
The Grand Imperator.
Yeah.
I couldn't say the last word.
And he is basically taking down the Gold Society holdouts one planet at a time.
Yeah.
And the book begins with him finally, taking over. I don't want to give too many spoilers, but basically begins with the second to last planet that's holding out is Mercury.
Yeah.
And it begins with. They call it the Iron Rain, which is where they just unleash devastation by actually launching bodies through these metal tubes down on the planet so they can just cover the whole planet and just fight anybody that's going to put up resistance. Can you imagine seeing that on the screen?
No, dude, I would love to see that on the screen. Like, that's one of those things that I'm like, and I think, was it you that had brought that up that you think that this would make a better Netflix series?
I think it'd be a hugely better series than movie because there's so many characters that have such great personalities and you're not going to be able to put that in a movie.
Oh, yeah.
Unless it's like a 10-hour long movie, which basically is like when you go to a good Netflix show.
Oh, yeah.
It's basically what they do. Basically,
I would love to see either HBO or Cinemax or Showtime or Netflix or somebody to pick this up and make a series out of it. Because like what you said, there's too much in these stories that whenever you actually read them, you're like, how can you cut that out?
Yeah.
How can you cut that out? Because if you cut this out, then and like when they're at the Institute, there's so much that happens at the Institute. You're like, well, how can they cut some of this out?
That a lot of that one book could be broken into probably three seasons.
Oh, yeah. Easily.
And I just recently read, I didn't read it in depth, but I think, see, he had sold the rights to some movie company early on when the first book came out.
Yeah.
I think because nothing happened, a lot of times they put clauses in that you get to retain the,
after a certain amount of time.
He just got the rights back. And if I understand correctly, I think part of what he's kind of hoping for is maybe a combination movie TV deal, kind of like what Patrick Rothfuss is doing.
Oh, okay.
Patrick Rothfuss is doing movies and TV shows with his Name of the Wind books.
Yeah. And that was you that was telling me about that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that he's working with the
Manuel Miranda. Yeah,
I never can remember that guy's name, man. Yeah.
So we got Darrow starting out the book, and so it's great. The Ash Lord is on Venus.
Yeah, he's on
the last country. I mean, the last planet that is really a holdout. There's an inner rim and outer rim.
Yes.
That's it. And he's like, and his military mind says this has to be done. The only thing is, he does this Iron Rain and takes over Mercury
without the
consent of the Republic, the Senate. And he gets in trouble because he always gets in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
And then you get the storyline of somebody named, did it go, who was first?
I think they went Ephraim after that.
Ephraim, all of a sudden the sci-fi book, turns into, what would you call
heist
it? The heist book. Yeah. Really cool heist book.
Oh, hell yeah, man.
Breaking into a museum to steal a razor.
Yeah.
And a razor is basically
their sword.
Their sword, that can be manipulated in different shapes. And
yeah, really basically awesome. Like the one things that the guys used in The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
The kind of like weird sword thing that could turn into a whip. But except for they can adjust the shape that it takes. Like Darrow uses his in a sling blade or Kaiser blade.
Takes you a while to figure out who this guy is. But then you find out who he is. He's tied to the original characters in the original book.
Yeah, because I'd completely forgotten who he was.
I didn't remember his
name.
Until
he spelled it out.
Until he met in the bar with
Holiday.
Yeah, Holiday. Yeah. And then there's a storyline of the young girl. I shouldn't say little girl. The 18-year-old girl and her family. She went, if you remember, if any of y'all have read the original books, she was part of the Gamma, I guess, clique or tribe of Reds that used to always have the benefits of, they were always like the top group of the Reds. They got all the special foods and stuff. Well, now, because Darrow was part of the lowest group, they have taken, because he is now just this awesome leader
he's
and hero.
He's almost like a god.
Yeah. Some people say prayers to him.
Yeah.
They are now using his fame as a reason to attack and keep these people down to where they're starving and having trouble getting by.
Oh, yeah.
And things are not, basically the whole theme of the book so far is, chaos. You won the battle, you overthrew the society, but the society kept an order at least. And now how do you deal with this? Because the Reds on Mars don't feel like they've really been saved from anything. Basically, it's easier to destroy than to create sometimes.
Yeah.
Because they were really good at destroying the system that was before, but ruling and keeping everybody happy. And there's lots of people unhappy because things haven't necessarily gotten better like they were promised. And then the last story of the fourth storyline is, I think might be my favorite so far, is I don't want to say the name wrong, Lysander and Cassius.
Yeah, Lysander and Cassius.
And I got this strong feeling of Obi-Wan and Anakin zipping around. They're like Lone Ranger and Tonto.
Oh, yeah.
Going around the galaxy, kind of keeping low profile, because both of them would be killed in a heartbeat by anybody that found them still. Because a lot of people still hate them. Just because Lysander is who he is, he was the heir to the sovereign.
Yeah, heir position. To the sovereign's throne.
And they're basically going around solving problems.
Yeah.
And helping people.
Yeah. As in, you know, what is it? Cassius says that he's going to be the shepherd now. Yeah. What Gold was always intended to be the shepherd, not the ruler.
Not the ruler, the shepherd. Yeah. And that's so he's like, he's trying to redeem himself for all the wrongs he and his people have done. And that storyline has sent chills and some of the stuff that's happened in it so far. I'm really curious about where it's going to go.
Oh, yeah. And man, and like, I've never been at work before, especially on a Friday, going like, man, if I just had a few more hours of work, this would be awesome. Because usually on Friday, I'm like, F this place, I'm out.
Right.
I'll see you on Monday. But I was sitting there on Friday because where I ended off, Darrow had not necessarily been arrested, but he was told not to leave Hyperion because now they've brought up these charges against him. Because, and that's one thing that I really want to see what unfolds with that, because what the hell are they doing bringing in Bologna, the lady Bologna. I can't remember what
the mother of the
mother of Cassius.
If you can remember, the boy that
she wanted to eat. Yeah,
the mother of Cassius' little brother that Darrow had to kill in order to survive in the Institute at the very first book.
Yeah. And before you get to the Institute, there's the passage, and he kills that. I can't think of the kid's name.
So much cool stuff in this book. Yeah. So fast paced, so well told.
Yeah.
And he does action really well.
Oh,
I think I'm a little bit ahead of you in one of the storylines of the Lyria.
Oh, okay.
Remember Craxus?
Yeah, yeah.
The dad of.
He gets. Yeah, I got to that part because.
Okay.
I couldn't stop.
Yeah.
Whenever the Red Hand was attacking her, he wrote that. I know I sound constantly like I'm kissing Pierce Brown's ass, but like he wrote, I know, right? Just need to play that the entire time while I'm talking about Pierce Brown, but like he wrote that so well that, man, like I was sitting there at work and like, especially whenever she's in the camp going to get her blind nephew from the camp, from the infirmary to go meet her sister. Like I'm sitting there like looking around going like, okay, is there any of the Red Hand coming this way? Okay, we got to open and run.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, oh man, so enthralled with it, just so wrapped up in the story, just so it. Especially like I said, that Lyria one right now is my favorite storyline because at first she was like one of my worst ones because I was like, what is this all about?
Where's this leading to?
But then you know you have the attack on the camp, the massacre. She sees her brother get killed and. You know, she goes back and she realizes they can't take their father. So now you've already been set with these two just horrible weights that she just watched her brother get murdered basically in cold blood by the lady. I can't think of what her name was.
I remember her. She was one of the original ones Darrow from the very beginning.
That was with Dancer and all.
That basically broke off to form a rival.
The Red Hand or whatever. Yeah, yeah. I don't know if they call it the Red Hand because you see them later in the book as well.
Yeah. They're the ones that were going to blow up a lot of the jackals.
Yeah. They were going to blow up the jackal and the cantina type thing or whatever. And then they gave Darrow the bomb to go blow up the golds at the meeting there. And
he changed his mind.
Yeah. In Hyperion, where he changed his mind, and then they have the crazy. Oh yeah. Anyways.
You can't tell we love it.
Oh, man.
I hope we're not spoiling it too much for people to go back and read.
Yeah.
Because
I would say, even though we're giving you spoilers, we are not barely even touching on anything in the book.
No, we're just going to hit the highlights.
I know that there's things that I'm missing that I really love about the book. And I've gone through the first three books probably in the series at least three times by now. And I really wanted to go back through the first three again before I started Iron Gold. But whenever Iron Gold came out, I couldn't wait. I wanted to make myself wait, but I didn't. I just was like, devil with it. I'm starting this up. And I'm actually kind of glad that I didn't because you don't really have to because, like you said, it picks up 10 years afterwards. And so with that picking up 10 years afterwards, you don't really have to go through and read all three of the – I mean, I would suggest reading all three of the books before you read Iron Gold.
Definitely, yeah.
But it's not like if it's not fresh in your mind, it's not going to hurt anything.
Right.
But yeah, man, and like I said, like on Friday, you know, I had left off with Telemanos being drug out of the water.
Yeah.
And they opened up his suit.
Yeah.
And I think that's actually where I left off at was when they opened up his suit. They drug him out of the water. They opened up his suit And I think he started vomiting water, and that's where I had to shut it off at.
It gets so good.
Oh, man, I can't
you
wait.
He really does know how to, he does well with me at least.
Yeah.
Pulling emotions, hitting those right things in his writing that just like, you get mad.
Yeah.
It's like, this is wrong. Why are they treating these people like this?
Oh, yeah.
And then it's like, well, oh, really? Wow. Okay. And then it's like, oh, man, just, how could this happen?
Oh, yeah.
So many different things goes on in it that, I don't know. I can't say anything because I don't want to spoil it for you. The ending of that chapter is perfect.
Okay. Yeah. I love the Telemannuses. I love the Telemannuses, man. Like the, every one of the Telemannuses, the Kavix and Daxo, and I'm trying to think of the daughters and stuff, and their son Pax was a big follower of Darrow after Darrow kicks his ass in the first book.
Right. Yeah.
And apparently, like, destroyed his balls by kicking the crap out of his balls.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, it is, man.
And one of those things, it's like I messaged y'all. I was reading. I'm like, see, I want to read a story about this. Like, what was the name of the
– Merriweather or something?
John Merriweather was an American that almost stopped
– the rising or the conquering.
Conquering of Earth by the Golds. Basically, and they just – the horrible part where when the conquering happened, they basically just sprayed this stuff in the air and neutered 100 million people.
And just waited for them to die out.
Just let them die out.
That's crazy. Yeah. Oh, man. Dude, that's such a... I feel like I should say some bad stuff about it, but I can't ever even come up with anything bad about it because I know that...
find something. We're maybe our... Too much butt kissers.
Right.
No, it's right. Good. And the thing is, I hate recommending things to people.
Yeah.
Because everybody's tastes are different and everything you like is kind of based on your past experience of things you've enjoyed. And I can trace back why I like certain things musically, art wise, literary.
Yeah.
Kind of the stuff I was, exposed to as a kid that I liked. And, I will like this book.
Yeah.
So I will find other books by this person. And then I'll say, well, what kind of stuff does this person like? And that can lead you down a rabbit hole to all these other people. And next thing you know, you're like 10 different authors in. Same thing with music. When iTunes first started, I'd like,
oh, yeah.
Well, okay. This artist. Well, what does this person like? And then the next thing you know, you're in 17th century classical music because the connections to everything goes that deep.
Oh, yeah.
I'm big into, I can lose myself in something like that really, really easily.
I completely understand, man. I completely understand. I'm like I said, I'm really excited to see where this book goes. I'm actually kind of looking forward to going back to work tomorrow so that way I can finish to listen to the book some more. Not really looking forward to going back to work, but kind of looking forward to going back to work. If that makes any sense. I'm kind of looking forward to going back to work so that way I can start my book back up. Not looking forward to going back to work to go back to work.
Well,
especially after we've had all these cold days and I get one blasted freaking snow day.
Yeah.
Not one. Not once did I get to use my inclement weather time.
No.
I'm pissed.
Now it's 70. It's 9 degrees on Tuesday and it's 70 right now.
Yeah, it was 73 yesterday afternoon.
Nuts.
What the hell, man?
That's
no wonder everybody's sick.
Knowing we can't, our bodies can't handle it.
Texas in its bipolar weather.
Yeah, there were bees flying around my house yesterday.
Oh, really?
Bees in January.
That's ridiculous, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man, I'm excited to see where all the stories go to. The only one I wasn't like super crazy about was I wasn't crazy about Ephraim's just because I don't know what they're building up to that.
Right.
Because last time I left off with him was whatever he was leaving. The bar where he met Holiday.
Well, Holiday was trying to get him to come back. Had been a legionnaire himself, right?
Yeah, he was a Grey.
And that's why he's so skilled.
Yeah.
But he's really angry because his boyfriend was killed.
His husband.
His husband got killed.
Yeah.
Defending Darrow.
Yeah. Because his husband was Holiday's brother who, if you've read the book in book two, or the beginning of book three, as they save Darrow from the jackal, the brother-sister set is Holiday and her, I can't remember what his name was. Anyways, Holiday and her brother.
Trig,
yeah. And Trig is killed by,
one of the,
he, it's not Cassius, but the other night that always was hanging around Cassius, and she got
there's killed. One of the women one.
Yeah.
I can't remember. She was the really evil one. Not Victra, but her sister, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, no, no. Not Victra. Not Victra's sister, because Victra's sister is married to, I just can't remember anybody's name. Yeah,
I'm
right
having
now.
Trouble right now.
Goblin.
Goblin. Severo.
Yeah, Severo. I can't remember anybody's name right now. Why is this killing me right
kind
now?
Kind of a, Severo's got kids.
Yeah.
He's got four daughters in this, and he still wears that stinky wolf belt around.
I know, right? But I'm really excited to see where all these stories go to, and I want to see what's going on with the Dancer, because that's one thing that's really bothering me, because I don't see Dancer, the guy who helped, Ares form, you know, the Rising, that helped form the Sons of Ares.
Yeah.
And I couldn't think of Severo's dad's name just then, so I just used Ares.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Finchner. Baca. Yeah, Fincher Abaca. Yeah, man, I don't see him working with her.
You gotta figure all the storylines, or almost all of them, are going to eventually.
They're all going to interconnect at some point in time. They're all going to intertwine. I'm excited to see how that goes, and I don't even know if they'll start intertwining in this book, or if there's going to be multiple books down the road before they start really kind of intertwining.
Well, there's already, look on Amazon, there's already a release date. I think it's the same time next year.
Oh, really?
For the next book.
Wow.
The title's out.
So is he pumping them out one year then?
That's what he did. That's the way he did the Red Rising ones. There's one a year.
That means
this won't interfere too much.
Yeah. So I'm just curious about, like, at what time that he starts writing them after he releases one. Because he's probably starting writing the next one as this one goes to press, or it goes to the editor.
Yeah.
Before he ever even starts, makes his final
I'm sure he is. There's a long time in between submitting a book to getting it
out. Oh, yeah, and getting the final revision.
Apparently, he writes pretty quick.
Yeah.
Because he,
I think he... Because you had read something.
He was living, when he wrote the first book, he was living in his parents' attic or above their garage or something like that.
And didn't you say you wrote it in like 100 days or something?
Something like that.
Pretty quick.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, it took me a little while. The next book is coming out. Dark Age is the next novel.
Oh, wow.
And that's kind of ominous. Book five of the Red Rising Saga. And it's coming out. Oh.
What's up?
I was about to start crying about how we're going to have to wait.
Yeah.
Until January of next year.
Yeah.
No, dude. For my birthday.
Oh, wow. So September
10th, I have to wait one more day.
Yeah.
September 11th, the next book, Dark Age, comes out.
Really?
So that's pretty awesome.
Hell yeah, dude.
So he's really
pumping them out.
Taking advantage of his. And there's the books, and there's also, and I want to check these out eventually.
Oh, the comics?
The Red Rising comics, Sons of Ares.
Yeah.
I think there's 6 issues. And I want to try to track them down and read those and see how they are.
Yeah.
But that would kind of give a visual to the, cause I know right now I have in my mind what I think people look like.
Oh, yeah.
But you never know what his idea of the way they should look.
Yeah. Cause you showed me a picture one time, I think, of, who was it? The visualization or the picture of Darrow, I think is what it was. And I pictured something completely different, a little bit more, I won't say rural, but more, not as futuristic, I guess, or whatever. A little bit more, not as, cleaned up, but still, it was still really awesome. But still, I always like getting visuals and I've been meaning to look up a visual of Ragnar, just because Ragnar is my favorite character.
Ragnar is so awesome.
Dude, yeah. Damn it, I was wanting to talk. I was really hoping Steve could make it today because this gives us time to finish the book.
Yeah. Next time we can all get together, he'll probably hopefully have finished it, because he actually got caught up really quick to
us. Yeah, he did.
And
he's
working on it. And
that's what I wanted to ask him, because I could have asked him through the group text about, like, well, how long did it take you to read book 3? Because book 3 is the book that everybody seems to freaking run through, because you just can't stop. It's just so emotional. Because you're on a roller coaster the entire time, because at one point in time, you're like, well, crap, somebody died. Now I don't want to stop now, because I've got to have a palate cleanser, because I don't want to leave.
And then somebody else dies.
Yeah.
That's one thing he has a similarity to George R. R. Martin, is he will kill everybody you love.
Yeah. Don't get too attached to a character, because he will kill them.
Although,
not asshole-ish like George R. R. Martin.
Go to this. I don't know if this is his actual page of himself or it might just be a fan page. Go to PierceBrownBooks.com.
Okay.
Pierce Brown's Howler Legion.
Oh, okay.
And it has a lot of the images that he says represent the way these people look and stuff like that, different characters. I was kind of looking into that earlier, and it's a pretty neat little resource. So.
Yeah, because I'd actually thought about it, because I've been building Mandalorian armor, you know.
Right.
And so as I was building that, I was like, dude, I could totally make myself like, so like, the obsidian armor or something like that, you know, one of the stained or whatever. I was like, that would be awesome because they're, you know, and they're supposed to be, I think that, you know, they're supposed to be like all white. Or whatever, but even though they're the blacks, the obsidian or whatever, you know, their
hair's wide.
Their hair's wide, but I want to say that they said that, Ragnar's armor was white with, adorned with like sky blue markings and stuff or whatever. So I was like, it just sounds like super badass, man.
So many good little things in it.
It's
pretty cool.
Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for us today, man.
Yeah, I'm just exhausted from too much excitement here.
I know, right? Well, I'm David.
I'm Michael.
2BT. Break the chains.
Break the chains, hell diver. Hey, wait.
Oh, wait.
How do people reach us?
Oh, the 2BT show at 2BT. I don't know. How do they reach us, Michael?
just tweet the show at 2BT show.
Yeah, at 2BT show. Gmail is show@2bt@gmail.com.
And if anybody disagrees that there's are some movies that are close to perfect, please give us ideas.
Yeah.
Because I got some ideas that I would suggest are close to perfect, maybe not perfect. And maybe we can have that as a topic. And it'd be really, really cool if some people would send in their top five almost perfect movies.
Yeah, or just your top five movies, period. But yeah, I want to see what people consider perfect movies, because I was actually talking to Michael before we recorded. About, I don't think that there are really any or very many perfect movies.
Right.
So, if you get a chance, go by iTunes, rate us, review us. Please be nice. You know,
except just, for you, Aaron.
Yeah. Yes, son of a bitch. I'm just playing. I love everybody.
Yeah, we do.
Anyways, I think that's going to do it. Finally, 2BT, right. Break the chains.
Oh. A bit red, hell diver.
Yeah, there we go.
Bye.
I can either A, clinch it, and hope that my body just reabsorbs it. Maybe it'll turn into a burp.
Burp, burp, burp.
Are you ready for your vasectomy?
Mike, edit this out.
Yeah. I want to be captain of the committee that makes sure you guys don't F this up.
I swear to God, dude, it came out with a vengeance, too. I don't know. Oh my God. I don't know if like the...
It's glorious. Santa Claus is real.
Oh, well, look, he's not that bad of a dude.
Straight to the fart noises. There's only one Dave.
He's a little guy, red hair, that he likes to sing and play his lute.
I don't know, maybe it's my upbringing or something.
I don't know, like, it's just fun. I'm texting. Be like, oh, well, you know, my feats are better than your feats.
Man. You're an old man and pretty much done.
There you go.
Dude.
Everything's better with reverb.
Oh, yeah. Excellent.
Giant lump of wet dough. Okay.
Where are you from? When I was like, Texas.
Oh, whoa. Big guy. Well, how dare you say that to little Timothy?
Yeah.
Listen, by the way, spoilers.
Hey.
I guess it's the Texas thing.
I love my family.
Excellent.
Oh, you want to be a tough guy? I'll be a show what tough is. And
Go home.
Dude, you mind if I sit over here? And he's like, dude, knock yourself out, man. Oh, it must be a Texas thing. Don't do that, by the way.
I'm having a brain freeze.
Oh, no.
And I'm like,
Ujaba,
the heebie-jeebies.
Face down in a gutter, no. Won't admit defeat, though.
Well, this is not good.
Like, dude, I love it. I love it all. Whoa, dude. Oh, my God.
Star Wars guys are crazy.
My butt has a cannon.
If you're going to go out, that's the way to do it.
I dig it. that belongs in a museum. Oh, dude, hurry up and get here. Yeah.
Man in black fled across the desert, and the gunslinger followed.
The Last Jedi, Run DMC,
Han, Luke, Leia,
R2 and 3PO,
Rey, Finn,
Yoda, Kenobi,
Poe.
Do or do not, there is no try.
Chewbacca has to die.
The Palpatine. Betray you.
Chewbacca. You know, R.A. Salvatore.
This is a good guy, this is a bad guy. This is a good guy, this is a bad guy. Go.
Dang it.
Yeah. But, like, crap, I'm just, like, stuttering and rambling there. Beans, the wonderful fruit. The more you eat, the more you toot. The more you toot, the better you feel, so eat beans with every meal. I have a belief that if the more you fart, the longer you'll live.
No! You don't stop playing because you get old.
Yeah.
You get old because you stop playing.
That wasn't terrible.
That was pathetic. Boo.
Nerdy Legion.
Nerdylegion.com.